Okay, so let's see what happens.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. And if you want to give me a call on this August 19th, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. All right. So, hey, and also if you want to give me an email, you can send an email to info@carm.org, info@carm.org. And just put the subject line, radio comment, radio question, and oh boy, there's a yawn. Oh man, sorry about that. And always, whenever I yawn like that, I always wonder how many people are yawning, driving or just listening later because I yawned. So anyway, I hope it's working. We had a little bit of a tech problem right before the show, like a minute before the show. So I don't know if we're live. I assume we are because they said maybe they put a different show on because of it. So I don't know. They could tell me, let me know. That'd be fine. They might be working on something. I don't know. We'll find out. Anyway, so, you know, it's okay. Okay, now, where we are? Okay, good. Everything's working good. So, now, as you guys may know, I'm just going to talk about this a little bit. I'm an Aliens fan. I love the movie Aliens. I've seen it 78 times. 78. And I love all the Alien stuff. I've always liked Aliens when I was a kid. And last night I went and watched the latest Aliens, Aliens Romulus, and boy, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It's a lot of a lot of running. That's what you get when you get Aliens, you know, running and shooting and acid for blood and screaming and oh no. Me, I'm like, yeah, go for it. So I had a good time with that. It's not as good as number two. Number two, Aliens, that was the best. I this could be hard to beat. But I think it was a little bit better than one. But maybe not. You know, I don't know. So I'm just talking because I like Aliens. I'm saying, hey, how you doing out there? I love that kind of stuff. But I want to see the movie Reagan when it comes out. On the I think the 20th? 28th? I don't know. Something like that. Supposed to be good. And I heard, or I read, something about the movie Reagan being, the ads for it on Facebook didn't go through, weren't allowed to go through, or some censorship idiocy from Facebook, and they fixed it. But it just tells you that the algorithm is so liberally set that, you know, something conservative, and it gets pulled in, and stuff like that. So I heard that, and 10 p.m. movie? No, it was 10:30 I went to the 10:30 showing. Joanne. Timestamp, man, Alien Review. If you want, Steven, maybe I'll do I do movie reviews too, and they're on their movie reviews on the Carm website. I only do one every now and then, but people liked me doing them. I do mine are short and sweet. Here's what it is. This is what I recommend you seeing it. Watch out for this. You know, I just get to the point. I've read a lot of movie reviews on all kinds of stuff, and they go on and on. They're really good writers. Me? No, I'm just quick and slick. Just get it done. Good movie. Go see it. You know, next. So I like that. All right. So we have nobody waiting right now. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let me just go in and check to see. Okay, there's this guy who keeps writing me. Guy or girl, I don't know. And it says, I suggest you keep your articles confidential. What does that mean? I write an article for public use, but keep it confidential. It doesn't make any sense. Just, I feel like I'm invading the privacy of the authors. I know this is not bad stuff, but please protect your users by use of online security. I don't want anyone being... What? What do you...
you can still write your articles. Oh, thank you. That's very nice. I appreciate that. It's just that the content is just expressing feelings on... I have no idea what this person is talking about. And he signs it, I'm just being a mental health expert. Yikes. I enjoy wacko mail and hate mail. All right. Okay. So anyway, got some other stuff. Let's see. Read this, but you won't. So I always love childish challenges. Read this, but you won't. So wait a minute, if I read that, how would I know they said I wouldn't? So, you know, it doesn't quite make sense. I just published an ebook you might be interested in. I do appreciate you denying my desire to Oh man, I'm loving this. Denying my desire to peruse your forum board. You can peruse them. Nobody stops you. I'm the one who said he is in something due to some very good reasons. I also understand your thoughts of me being the nasty name you called me. I didn't call him a nasty name. I haven't been on the forums on the car site for a long time. You know that was uncalled for, but I understand and appreciate your misunderstandings of who I am. I have used pseudonyms, so I cannot be found by those who wish my death. Wow. Oh, man. They already got my wife and daughters. Oh, my goodness. Thank you for your valuable time. Hey, how about this? P.S. I'm already working on another book titled DismantlingKarm.org. Yes, that would be good. That would be a good book. That would be good. I like that. So there you go. I got to get that going. I guess if someone's going to write a book like that, I'm going to have to check it out. I have to check it out and see what it is. Yeah, dismantling Karm. What does it mean to dismantle? You take the website apart? And, I don't know. But let's see. I'm not going to put that up there because I don't know. Anyway, let's see what else we got. Here's some questions. I found your site and have some questions about divinity. According to your beliefs, why is Christians against New Age? Why is Christians? We is against New Age because it's false and it's altered by demonic forces. May Rustin gurus claim that the human can become enlightened and reach the same level of consciousness as Jesus. Why do you see this as being wrong? Because Jesus is God in flesh, the creator of the universe. You can't come to that level. New Age philosophy often say, look at this, I can't even write properly. From Denmark. Okay, I'll give him a pass. He's from Denmark. Okay. New Age philosophy often says that humans can become divine while have a human form. What is your perspective on that? Not possible. How come humans can never be on a level with God or Jesus? They can never be as divine according to Christianity. Well, think about this. This is real simple stuff. You see, God created everything. So how can we be on the same level as him? Because we're the part of the creation. Right there, we cannot. Well, I know a lot about the New Age. Back in the 80s when it was big, I did a lot of research on it, a lot of interaction with it, New Age conventions. I have a lot of material on the New Age stuff. Back in the day when I would do a New Age seminar, not afford, of course, I have this New Age notebook on a three-inch ring binder, okay? What I would do, I say, look at it, ladies and gentlemen. I went to New Age conferences, and this is the literature I collected. And so I three-hole punched it, just put it in a random order, whatever I had. I just put in a stack, three-hole punch, put it in, three-hole punch, put it in, just so I could have it. And I say, now here's this notebook right here. And I would say to, because Christians want to learn about it, and I'd say, I'm going to just fan through it. So somebody say stop, and they'd say stop, and I just open and point my finger and start reading. And I'd say, see, I do it again and again, because New Age philosophy, when they write, is non-falsifiable. They'll say things like, the divine consciousness of the ethereal third plane of the third eye. When you get in harmonic balance with the third eye of that harmonic plane, you will achieve enlightenment. And they'll say stuff like that, for real. And it's like, well, what does it mean? Well, I don't know, but it sounds good. So I thought of doing this. I thought of taking a bunch of statements like ethereal plane, third eye, chakra balancing, energy, crystals, you know, whatever it is, and put a couple verbs in there and some nouns, adjectives, things like that, and then put them in a hat, mix them all up, and just pull stuff out. And then make a, you know, coherent sentence out of it, make a paragraph out of it, just keep doing it until I get a paragraph, and then, I mean, I'd never do this because people would actually believe it. Then put it up on a pseudo New Age site and say, what do you think of this? And then just get the feedback from, oh, that's so good. It's so wise. It makes so much sense. And then say, I just pulled it out of a hat, literally, and see what happens. That might be a good idea. Whew. Yeah, see, I entertain myself sometimes, don't I? Yeah, maybe I got issues. Hey, let's get to Jazz from North Carolina. Jazz, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Mr. Slick, how are you today?
Oh, fine. Just having a little bit of obstreperous fun.
You know, you mentioned aliens, and I was wondering, I mean, do you have any idea of what all of these UFO, reports are coming from, or do you have some information? And I'd like to hear about that. Yeah. Since you brought it up, I figured you may be an expert in it.
Well, I'm not an expert, but I know a lot about it. But well, it's mathematically impossible for life to form any place in the entire universe. It just mathematically doesn't work. The odds against
that
are
that.
So incredibly high. You get into exponential notation. You get, you know, into like the areas of a Googleplex. It's just ridiculous. It's not going to happen. So what are these things that are alive? Well, there's actually physical contact with them. There's physical sight. There's smells that have occurred. People have been tortured by them, affected by them, and abducted by them. They've had elements and things planted in their bodies. These aliens are interested in sexual reproduction. They're often force people into very painful things. And there are lots of
accounts. You're describing them as a demon.
Well, yeah, I'm going to get to that. But there are lots of accounts. Yeah, I'll give more. There's lots of accounts all over the world of UFOs being physically touched by individuals, seen
right.
on radar, seen with visually, pictures taken, things like this. There's a 1980, I think it is, in England. A United States Air Base was there. And one of the most important encounters occurred there. And that's something worth researching. But nevertheless, all right, so it turns out Christians don't get abducted. And when even unbelievers cry out the name of Christ, this is what I've heard from Chuck Missler, who did a lot of research with some very important people, et cetera, et cetera. You can go to khouse.org, K, letter K, then the word house. It's Koinonia House, but khouse.org.
Okay.
And there's books on UFOs and these documentation. So when anybody cries out the name of Jesus, the abduction seems to end quickly. There's another guy, and I forgot his name. He's semi-bald, and he goes on TV, and he talks about UFOs, and I forgot his name. But at any rate, he teaches how to get in contact with the aliens. You go out into a darkened place, and then you empty your mind, and you do the exact same stuff that you do in the occult to contact spirits on the other side. And then the UFOs occur. All right, now, what are they? They're either demonic manifestations, or they are the Nephilim. The Nephilim are the offspring between the fallen angels and women. And they were there before the flood. They're wiped out in the flood. Breeding programs continued after. So maybe that's what that is in a continuation. Who knows? And hold on, because we've got a break, and we'll get right back after Tuesday. Hey, folks, be right back after these messages. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on the air with Jazz as soon as Jazz is reactivated there. He might be having a little bit of an issue. I don't know what's going on, but we'll find out. So, I'm stalling. I'm waiting. Can you reactivate Jazz, number one, line one, whatever it is? And if not, we'll have to go to Herb in Raleigh next. Oh, maybe they're having an issue. Then we'll get back to Jazz afterwards. So hold on, Jazz. Let's get to Herb from Raleigh. Hey, Herb, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I hope you're doing well, buddy.
By God's grace.
I got a situation. Well, thanks to the Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm. Our church, I understand, I'm hearing through the grapevine, is going to be facing some choices about whether to stay in our organization. I don't want to disclose too much, you know, people listening from the church. But the home office is pushing woke. And it's a small country church. It's a Baptist denomination. And what can we do if we go along with it? You know, it'll be going against what the Bible speaks of, homosexuality and stuff like that, mm-hmm. obviously. But if we do it, I mean, if we don't do it, it may affect, you know, how much allotted money we may get to keep our church, you know, going. I mean, a lot of small churches depend on that for, you know, finances to exist. So what do churches do in a case like that when woke is down, knocking on your door? And it's already taken my home church that I went to many years ago. It was a Baptist church. Now it's totally woke. Female preacher, everything against, you know.
What you need to do is get with the people there who are godly. And then you get into a prayer team, and then you get educated. And you do this, and you invite others mm-hmm. in the church to participate in this. And then you prepare to leave the church if they go woke. And if the church says that they need the money, then they're ungodly, and they're not trusting Christ. If they say, you have to go woke in order to get money from Caesar to be allowed to continue, if the state of the Baptist church allows it, then they can just take it, and politely, I can't say over the radio, but they can put it where the sun doesn't shine. Okay? And so the people of God need to stand up for the things of God. And if it means you meet in a park instead of a building, then you meet in a park on a Sunday, and you have evangelism coincidentally as people hear. You do that kind of a thing. You meet in people's homes, but you don't go woke. And we need to talk about what this is, because there's good aspects in it, but there's also bad when it comes into the church, because the church is not to be practicing wokeness. It's supposed to be practicing Christianity. So wokeness is being aware of social justices and injustices, racial inequality, sexism, homophobia, and all this other kind of stuff. Well, these are cured by following Christ. Okay, go ahead.
The majority of the church is against it. That's what we're so upset about.
Good.
We don't want it to come. And we're just trying to decide, how do we fight it, you know?
Then the
it's
majority
not the church.
It's
just being forced on us.
The majority of the church needs to stand up and say, no, we will not accept this. They need to get men and women, but men need to stand up, need to get organized. You get a list of who it is. You get some men who go there to the elders, and you say, no. And you say to the pastor, no. And if you do this, we're gonna work to get you kicked out of here. And if it means you don't get money from the Baptist church, then fine. You raise up someone to be an elder in the church, and you start something else someplace else, but you don't compromise the truth of God's word.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that's probably what they're going to do. I feel sure we're not going to give in to it. I just wanted to get your feeling on what the other churches do when a situation like this comes along.
I don't know.
I
don't know. But I'll be glad to help you, coach you guys, and be a sounding board theologically if anybody wants that. Okay, that's not a problem.
All right, Matt. Well, I will I'll stay in touch with you on this.
Okay. The men in the church are the ones who are more responsible than the women. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, she sinned first, then he sinned, but sin entered the world through Adam. And when they both hid, the pre-incarnate Christ came to the man and said, where are you? Men are the ones who are supposed to take the eldership lead in the church and stand for righteousness. If no man in the church wants to stand for righteousness, then you don't have any godly men there. You have to have godly men who are willing to stand. And the wives need to know that the men need to stand up, and that sometimes it's costly. And they need to be ready to bear the burden with the husbands of what it might mean and the difficulty that it might mean. But this is what it is. We're not to take the easy road when it comes to biblical truth, okay?
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking that's what we're going to do. I'm pretty sure that's what most of the people are feeling, but I just wanted to get your input, and I sure appreciate it so much, Matt.
Okay, good.
Appreciate it. All right. Well, God bless. Let me know.
All right. God bless.
Okay.
Okay, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, folks, let me go over this a little bit. Wokeness is being aware of social injustice, like particularly things, like I said here, racial inequality, sexism, and homophobia. These are the, and they want pro-LGBTQ, they want equality of outcome, all kinds of things. And some of the things are good, some of the things are bad. What we need to do is say the scriptures are supreme, the scriptures are true, and we work according to the scriptures. So everybody, for racism, for example, Christianity teaches there's only one race, the human race, and we're all made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26. We just have different shapes, sizes, and colors. That's all. And we all need to be seen in that light. As far as social justice goes, the more Christians are in place, true Christians, the less social injustice there is. Because the social injustice occurs when people who are unbelievers get in places of power and they seek their own power to the detriment of others. They cause division, they cause poverty, they cause problems, so they can keep their own power. Wokeness tends to cause division, but Christianity seeks unity in Christ. Social justice is often proclaimed as a necessary innate equality of all people because, well, hey, they're just should have that. But that's not how it is according to Scripture, because even though we're all made in the image of God, we all deserve respect. There's a difference between the saved and the unsaved, and it's the saved who are in churches, and the purpose of the church is to equip the Christians, not to bring unbelievers into the church. That's not the purpose of them. The believers who are equipped by the pastors in the churches are the ones who are supposed to be the evangelists and go out there and do that kind of a thing. And there are evangelists who are called ministerially to work in churches to equip Christians. But it's not just a job of the pastor in order to bring people in. And don't make a church nicey-wicey so it brings unbelievers in, because then you're catering to the world, not to God's requirement and equipping of the Christians. And this is part of the problem that's occurring in the churches today. The Christianity is to focus on the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the proclamation of the gospel and equipping of the Christians. That's what we're supposed to be doing, not focusing on wokeness, not focusing on homophobia. Oh, we can't. No, homosexuality is a sin. And, you know, Islamophobia, Islam is a demonic religion. It's false. We need to stand on the truth of God's word, but we need to do it with love and with patience and with kindness, but with firmness. And the men in the churches need to stand up and act like men. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be strong, act like men, the Bible says. Let's get, oh, we can, there's a break. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Samuel from Kentucky, welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing, sir? How you doing? Hope you're having a blessed day.
Hey, I'm having a blessed day. Now that you've called, it's even better. Go ahead.
I appreciate that. Okay. Yeah, my question is can be a pretty simple one, I guess. I deal with apologetics as well, and I try my best to spread the word of God to people. I've been having some interesting conversations with, of course, some atheists, and I guess my question to you is, I guess within your view of things, why does it seem that atheists are reluctant to have an idea with themselves in order to accept or to possibly care enough that possibly, God exists? I've had theological arguments, with individuals, and most recently somebody brought up the whole puddle argument that Douglas Adams, brought up. And it's like the more and more that we choose to dig, the more and more they kind of back up. Even with simple things such as, you exist. I'm like, well, yes. I'm like, okay, why do you exist? I'm like, well, I don't want to talk about it.
Good.
And I've always wanted to know, why do you think they're more so afraid to accepting that the possibility of the why is going to go against their view, and they still stay in their current stance.
They're chicken. They're afraid.
Ah. Yeah.
That's what it is. Because if they find out there's good reasons that their atheism isn't valid or can't explain for things that are very serious, then it might mean they have to face something they don't like. Like maybe there's a greater power than themselves. Maybe there's an objective moral system out there that they themselves in their greatness don't produce. You know, that it produces aside from them. And that might mean they're not the great thing that they think they are. They're chicken. They're afraid to face these things. And so they look for ways to justify their arrogance, their pride, their rebellion against God. And they try and do it intellectually. They try and do it with logic and by attacking Christian thoughts and principles. But I can give you some pointers on how to refute those if you want. But that's what I think. Okay.
Yeah, and a lot of the times, and I bring up a lot of sound arguments. You know, I think I've come pretty strong. You know, I think it's just more so, like you said, I think it's the chicken part of them. I think a lot of them are just pretty cowardless behind it, and it's sad. You know, I just had one today. You know, they brought up slavery, which I think is like I think it's a common ground for atheists a lot to try to attack the things that they subjectively find to be immoral about God. Like, you bring up slavery a lot, like you bring up Exodus 21, you know, things in this nature. I'm like,
how do you respond to them when they bring up slavery?
I try to bring up, you know, the understanding of the times then, you know, especially when it comes out like corporal punishment, such as, you know, the ideas of the laws of the land then when it came down to certain things, you know, how they kind of took things out of context. I would then like refute with, like, why don't you talk about, you know, Hammurabi or, you know, or Namu or Isnuna or all these things.
When I talk to atheists and they say, well, the Bible promotes slavery, it's therefore it's wrong, I say, well, why is slavery wrong? Tell me from your atheist perspective why it's wrong. Now, they can't say anything, because if they're going to say, they're going to be inconsistent. I'm going to point out their inconsistencies, and sometimes what I'll say is, and if you give me any answers, I'm going to show you why those answers don't work. Because you want to, what you want to do is presuppose a universality that slavery is somehow wrong, which you haven't defined what it is, and you haven't compared this to it to Scripture to see what kinds there are, and why the word slavery really doesn't have a good Hebrew equivalent in the Old Testament. But I say, why is it wrong? And they'll say, well, it's wrong to enslave another person. Why is it wrong to enslave another person? Now, as a Christian, you can answer the question, but they can't. So I say, you have to borrow from our worldview in order to argue against our worldview. How do you justify, as an atheist, that slavery is wrong, or murder is wrong, or anything is wrong? You just don't like it.
Right.
You're entitled to not like it, but it doesn't mean it's right or wrong. So give me something more, I say. Give me something more than just you, I don't like it. Tell me why it's wrong.
Yeah. That's the go-to. They try to bring in the cognitive dissonance. You know, as soon as a person says, "Oh, you know, I'm against slavery," or then why do you follow a God that's for it? And I go, "Well, that's not
the
argument.
Who says he's for it? He permits it in the Christian context. God
permits it,
just like he permits murder. Doesn't mean he approves of either one, but." But back to the question, Mr. Atheist, why is it wrong? Because you're assuming it's universally wrong. But you can't do that from your atheist perspective, because now you're saying there's a universal moral absolute. Well, wait a minute. A universal moral is an abstract entity. It's an abstraction. You're saying that there's a universal abstract entity out there. What must be the case in order to have a universal abstraction? A mind. Can you please explain to me where you're getting this from? Yeah, I rip them up, because there's arguing with atheists is like shooting fish in a barrel. It is. It is.
I can see that. It is. It's you know, and like you said, you know, permission, you know, God allowing it to happen or permitting it to happen does not mean, you know, he supports. I mean, obviously, again, like you stated, many things that we can do anything, obviously. Everything we can do. It doesn't matter how immoral it is. We do it. And obviously, he's permitting it to happen. There's going to be apparently an outcome to your decisions, you know, while you're still walking this planet, you know. But until then, Yeah, there's a. I think that's what they ignore. Well, he lets it happen. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's a problem.
Find the immoral, you know. Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah.
It's a problem on their perspective.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing right now is I'm putting something in CARM because I want to do this before, and I'm glad you reminded me. I'm creating a redirect so that, I'm going to go test it, so that if you go to CARM.org/slavery, CARM.org/slavery, hit enter, and
yep.
There it goes. Oh, good. It goes to the section I've written on slavery. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
I think I read a few
articles.
Of these.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. And what kind of slavery? This is the thing. And one of the things, you know, there's the second article there, is why are slavery in the Bible is not the same as the chattel slavery of America. You know, that...
Right,
really
completely
didn't
different.
In America. Oh, yeah, it was horrible. It really was. But it's not what it was in the Bible. And,
no.
You know, there's, yeah. And I give the reason. Chattel slavery is not... slavery is not biblical slavery, but they don't do their homework.
Oh, yeah, and that was one of the arguments earlier. Yeah.
And I'll say to the atheists, I do this a lot.
Yeah,
I say, why do I have to do your homework for you all the time? How come you guys don't do any research?
Yeah.
What do you have?
Yeah, they really don't.
They
can't get past. I mean, I feel like the common conversation that I have a lot are simply, again, it's the things that anybody who would look on the surface would probably have a problem with just simply because of what's there. But it's like once we start to dig in depth, you don't want to dive in. You know, you don't want to dive in deeper as to the reasons as behind why. And then everything else, like you completely ignore everything that's good. Like, let's have a good conversation. Let's have the things that the loving God that we know does exist. We don't want to have those conversations. Well, why not? Why don't you have those conversations? Can you even have those conversations? Do you even know what's there? Or are you just focused on the things you're against? That has made you, I guess, to be atheist, which more so, again, I find it also funny that, you know, again, it's, you know, the whole idea of atheism is simply not, you know, you don't believe a God exists. Your reasonings behind why you're against God doesn't mean that he doesn't exist. You know, you can obviously disprove of God and still acknowledge that he's there, but obviously you're not that way. But these are the arguments that you're making because you rather waste your time to, in your mind, argue about something that's imaginary to you simply because you disagree with the what you find to be, you know, true, or the way that you've twisted them, or whatever the case might be. But it's always been interesting to me. It's always been interesting.
So you live in Kentucky, right?
That's what you, yeah, that's Louisville, what yes.
Okay. When you move to Idaho, let me know. You can be my neighbor, okay? And we'll go out and do stuff.
All right. Oh, yeah.
That's right. I need to have a bunch of people.
Idaho.
Huh? What's that?
So what city in Idaho?
I live in Nampa, but the Boise area.
Ah.
So I want all the good people from the radio areas to move into my neighborhood. So that's what I want. So they're being sort of cult. I mean, a Christian thing.
Awesome. I've been to Twin Falls. I haven't been anywhere else yet.
Twin Falls is nice. In fact, Twin Falls has, get this, the second biggest Grand Canyon, the second biggest canyon in the United States next to Grand Canyon. How about that?
Oh, wow. I would love to visit again. It's really beautiful up there.
Yeah, you come to visit, you got a place to stay. All right, brother.
No, awesome. I appreciate this. I thank you for taking out the time. I'd love to talk to you more. I know there's other people lined up, but I would definitely love to talk to you some more and definitely
right,
pick
man.
Your brain on many things. Like I said, I've been doing this for
go.
A long time
as
well, and that's good.
All right, brother. God bless. It's a great man. We're out. Okay. We'll talk to you later. Hey folks, be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get on the air with Jermaine from California. Welcome. You are on the air. Are you there? Hello, Jermaine. Hello? I'm talking to you, waiting and waiting, because just maybe...
Hello, can you hear me?
There we go. All right. I figured it might take a bit. All right, buddy, what do you got?
All right. I enjoyed that past conversation. That's why I called. But Yeah, I had a question about generational curses. I have some family members who are still kind of caught up in that, and I find a lot of believers kind of differ on that, but the more I research the scriptures, and for me, John chapter 9 kind of really hits home that I don't see generational curses in the New Testament at all. So I just kind of wanted to hear you break that down. I wonder if people are confusing generational curses with just, you know, bad behavior being repeated through generations. So just want to hear your thoughts.
Well, then we have to define what a generational curse is, and that's what's difficult, because if anywhere we're going to go to it, we have to go to the scriptures. And I don't think there's any general, any exact definition. So if I were to type in, you know, that and look for it, I don't think we're going to find anything. So what we do find are principles and things like this. So here's a big one. Here's a, so to speak, general curse, and that is the fall of Adam. So we died in Adam. We were made sinners in Adam, Romans 5:19. We could call that a generational curse because of the curse of Adam, particularly in Romans, in Genesis 3:19, where he says, you know, the sweat of the brow, the ground is cursed. So there's that. Does that qualify as a generational curse? Yeah, we could say so. But then we also find where God says in Exodus 20, in the Ten Commandments, you know, don't have any gods before me and things like that. And if you do, then he'll punish the children for the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. So what does that mean? Does it mean then that God is cursing everybody because of what they did? Well, we could say yes and no. Because we get into something called federal headship. And federal headship is a teaching that the male represents the descendants. So if the male represents the descendants and a father is the one who rejects God, then he would be under a curse of God. And then if his children likewise participate in that, then they would be cursed as well. But are they cursed because of the father? Indirectly, yes. So you see, this is... It's just not easy to answer and say, well, this is what it means, and this is how we apply it. Because there seem to be a range of meanings and applications of it. So, the Numbers 14:18, you know, I'll punish them, as you know, said, that their children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, bearing the consequences of their fathers. Well, this I liken this to this idea. A man takes his family and goes to a deserted island because he believes that the apocalypse is coming next year. And it doesn't come. And the family is suffering. And it's very hard life. They are affected, in a sense, because of this disobedience to God. Then the family is affected and, so to speak, cursed. So this is just not an easy thing to define, if you know what I mean, and therefore give an accurate answer.
Yeah. Okay. I think you pretty much identified the problem that we run into. They usually typically will say it has something to do with some sort of witchcraft curse. I think in Exodus, and then a demon contract with just a bunch of stuff that's not mentioned in Scripture. But yes. You know, I think your explanation makes most sense.
Well, there's that too, because you can have demonic influence, and, oh man, so you have demonic influences that people participate in, and those can affect the children. You know, it's spiritual and physical are similar. You know, if you have a mom who does drugs while she's pregnant, the baby is affected. And if you have people in the house who are doing occult things, the people in the house or other people in the house are affected. It's just not, you know. So I'm going to have to write an article on this and really focus on this and possibilities, because the reason is difficult to answer because the Bible doesn't exactly say what it is. So what I could do, you just got me an idea. If I were to do this, okay, cancel that, and cancel that, and type in the word curse or cursed, that might be interesting. And see how many times it occurs in the Bible, things like that. So I could do that. I'm just curious because you can do this right now. Let's see. Go here and do this and type in the word cursed. And it occurs, 203 times. That would be interesting to go through and see if we could derive out of that anything that we might call generational curses. Interesting. So you got me thinking. There you go, man. Got me thinking.
All right. I guess mission accomplished one way or another. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll pick this up again another time. I do appreciate your answer, though.
All right, man. God bless, buddy. Good question, though. Good question. I just need to write a good answer. All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, man. God bless. Bye. All right. Now let's get to Adam from California. Adam, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. Hanging in there. What do you got, man?
Right on, man. So here's my question for you. When is it legal grounds to file for a divorce?
Legal is different than biblical. So which do you want?
I'm speaking biblically here. God's legal requirement for divorce is what I meant. Sorry.
Okay. So the two areas that are permitted in Scripture for divorce is adultery and abandonment. Jesus said in Matthew 19:9, I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality, that's the word porneia, sexual impurity, and marries another woman commits adultery. And abandonment in 1 Corinthians 7:15, Paul says, yet if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. So it seems to be...
And you said that's Matthew?
The first one is Matthew 19:9, and the second is 1 Corinthians 7:15. Now, you could go to CARM, and you could look up the article, What Does the Bible Teach About Divorce? I wrote it back in 2008. Okay?
Okay. So here's where I'm at basically right now, sir. I've recently discovered that my wife has been texting with another man. And after looking through the text messages, I would define it as an emotional affair. She's also left me and my four children in the past 2 weeks for an 11-day stint, 6 days one day and several the next. And I also discovered that she's selling pictures of her feet for financial gain online.
Okay. And does she claim to be a Christian?
Now, I'm with my church elders. She does profess. I've been dealing with, she's also struggling with addiction, and I've been dealing with my church council, right? We are part of I think it's the CPC or the OPC, I believe is what we're affiliated with. And we've been dealing with this for almost 10 years. We've been married almost 10 years, and she's struggled with drug addiction. But now I found that she's doing stuff for financial gain. She's falsifying documents with the state saying that she's separated. She's taken my social security number and applied for countless loans and credit cards. I'm in a financial situation, and I discovered that she's carrying this on. Now our pastor and the elders recommended to her that she needs to cease the contact with the gentleman that she's been talking to, and that's been going on for 6 months now, and she still hasn't. And I'm at a point today, sir, where I went and filed for the divorce. I feel that she's not being faithful to me, but I'm also being told that there's other options besides divorce right away. I just feel like this has been going on for 10 years. What do I do?
All right. I remember a case, and I won't say who because I don't want to remember it inaccurately, but a well-known preacher back in the 80s, he had an assistant. And the assistant's wife was committing adultery, and they worked with her, but she continued to be unrepentant. And so, therefore, this is a short story, he recommended that the assistant get a divorce. This was not just happenstance, hey, let's give it a, you know, hey, she did it once, hey, out. No, this was a long period of time, and she was unrepentant. Now, that's physical adultery. You don't know if your wife's committing that, but there is a kind of abandonment that she is committing, and she is not honoring her marriage commitment. She is lying and stealing from you. She is lying and stealing from the government, apparently. You need to, what I'd recommend you actually do is keep I'm going to say this quickly because we're towards the end of the show. You need to keep a record of everything that you're doing, a call to me, even the day, the time, the topic, what I recommend. You talk to the elders when you meet with them. You keep a record, a chronological record of what's going on. It could become a legally necessary thing later on, plus a spiritual thing. Let's just say, and I'm just talking quickly as possibilities here, but let's just say, we've got 2 minutes in the show here, that in 5 years you meet another woman after you're divorced, and the elders say, well, what's the deal with this? You were married before, and you produce this document. And then you have your reasons documented, the elders of your church in there as well. If your elders say, no, you need to work on this more this way, that way, then you have to go with what the elders say. If you do this with the elders and she has continued to be unrepentant, then the elders and you need to decide what to do. Now, if you file a divorce, that's between you and God. I hope the elders are involved with this, and I can certainly understand it. If she's going away on a vacation without you, and she's texting another guy and selling stuff and lying about stuff, it certainly looks like adultery to me. So this, the verification of that.
She called me. She called me when I was at work, because I work. I'm home every night, but I got to go different towns. She called me on Thursday and said, "Hey, I'm leaving the kids with the neighbor. I'm taking off." And she was gone until yesterday night. So, and that was Thursday. So I'm in Sacramento, California, dealing with this. You know.
Yeah, that's unacceptable. I tell you what, Butter. I want you to email me if you want, and just email me info@carm.org. And I'll give you my cell number, and then we can just talk periodically about stuff. But you need to be involved with those elders. You need to keep a record of what's going on. I don't want to see divorce, but I certainly get it. And it looks like you're justified. I need more details, but it looks like you're justified in filing for divorce because she's just doing it.
I'm just hurting.
Yeah.
I'm just hurting, and my kids are in danger with the medication, loose pills I found laying around the house, and I have a one-year-old.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, at that point, you need to separate from her for the safety of the children, okay?
That's in the process of what I'm doing, sir.
Yeah, separation does not necessitate divorce, but that's one of the necessary steps. You need to do that in order to ensure the safety of the children, because she's an incompetent mom right now, okay?
Okay, well, I appreciate you taking the call. I definitely will email it, sir. Thank you.
All right, brother. Sorry to hear it, man. Sorry to hear it. All right. Hey, pray for him, okay? Everybody, just pray. This is a hard one. And trying to give quick advice over a radio show, not easy to do. But may the Lord bless you by his grace. I'll be back on you tomorrow. Lord, Lord.